On a September evening in 1940 in Los Angeles, a gathering of emigre musicians and intellectuals sat in a modest house. Outside, the palms swayed in the Pacific breeze. Inside, a frail man with piercing eyes spoke in a thick Viennese accent about the future of music. This man had fled Europe only 2 years earlier, leaving behind the devastation of Nazism and a world at war. He had changed the course of music once before in Vienna, and now in exile. He would continue to teach, to compose, to argue, to provoke. His name was Arnold Schoenberg, and he remains one of the most polarizing figures in the history of music. To some, he is the destroyer of beauty. To others, the liberator of sound. What is certain is that he was a giant who reshaped music for the 20th century and beyond. Arnold Schoenberg was born in 1874 in Vienna into a Jewish family of modest means. His father kept a small shoe shop. His mother taught piano. As a child, Arnold absorbed music from the streets, from synagogue chants, from military bands. He taught himself violin and began composing without formal instruction. Only in his late teens did he receive guidance from composer Alexander von Zemlinsky, who became his mentor and later his brother-in-law. At first, Schoenberg wrote in the lush, late Romantic style of Wagner, Brahms, and Mahler. His early works, like Verklärte Nacht, Transfigured Night, are filled with rich harmonies and soaring passion. They reflect the Vienna of the fin de siècle, with its mixture of decadence, philosophy, and Art Nouveau. Yet even in these early years, Schoenberg sought something beyond tradition. He once wrote that art must progress, that standing still is death. By 1908, he took a radical leap. In works like his second string quartet and the song cycle, Das Buch der Hängenden Gärten, he abandoned traditional tonality. For centuries, Western music had been built on keys, on the pull of harmony toward resolution. Schoenberg dissolved that system. His music floated free, dissonances unresolved, melodies wandering without a tonal home. This was atonality, and it shocked audiences. Some felt liberated, others outraged. Critics called it chaos, but Schoenberg believed he was only revealing what music had been heading toward for decades. His boldest statement came in 1912 with Pierre Lunaire, a cycle of 21 songs for voice and chamber ensemble. Using a technique he called Sprechstimme, speech song, halfway between speaking and singing, he set the surreal poetry of Albert Giraud. The result was eerie, grotesque, haunting, playful. It has become one of the most influential works of the 20th century. Here was music as theater of the psyche, fractured, modern, unforgettable. After the shock of atonality, Schoenberg sought order. During World War I, he began to formulate a new system, the 12-tone method. This was not just a technique, but a philosophy. Every piece would be based on a row using all 12 notes of the chromatic scale, arranged in a sequence that could be transformed, reversed, inverted, played backward, but never altered. No single note would dominate, all were equal. It was, in his view, the logical evolution of Western music after the collapse of tonality. He famously declared that he had made a discovery which will ensure the supremacy of German music for the next 100 years. In the 1920s, Schoenberg began composing with this method, producing works like the Suite for Piano, the Serenade, and his opera Moses and Aaron. To his followers, this was a revolution, a new way forward. To his detractors, it was a betrayal of beauty. Either way, the 12-tone system became one of the central developments of modern music, influencing generations from Berg and Webern, his devoted students, to composers across Europe and America. Schoenberg's life was deeply marked by the politics of his time. In 1933, when Hitler came to power, he fled Germany, resigning his post at the Prussian Academy of Arts. He returned briefly to Paris, where he formally converted back to Judaism, having earlier converted to Lutheranism in an effort to assimilate. Then he emigrated to the United States, settling in California. There he taught at USC and UCLA, living in relative obscurity compared to his fame in Europe. Yet he continued to compose the violin concerto, the piano concerto, chamber works, choral pieces, and the haunting A Survivor from Warsaw, a cantata depicting a Nazi atrocity. That piece, written in 1947, is perhaps his most direct engagement with history, combining spoken narration, 12-tone technique, and a Hebrew prayer sung by chorus. It is devastating, powerful, unforgettable. As a man, Schoenberg was uncompromising, brilliant, often difficult. He was deeply religious, intensely proud of his Jewish heritage, fiercely intellectual. He could be warm to students, yet ruthless in debate. He believed absolutely in his mission to advance music, to continue the German tradition from Bach to Beethoven to Brahms and Wagner, now transformed through his innovations. He was not modest, and his confidence often alienated others, but his influence was immense. In exile, he became a mentor to many younger composers, directly or indirectly. His students, Alban Berg and Anton Webern, developed his ideas in different directions. Berg blending 12-tone method with lush romanticism, Webern distilling it onto crystalline miniatures. Later, composers from Boulez to Babbitt to Stockhausen would take his method as a foundation for post-war modernism. Even those who rejected him could not escape his shadow. Stravinsky, once his rival, eventually adopted 12-tone technique late in life, proving Schoenberg's lasting reach. Schoenberg died in 1951 in Los Angeles. On a Friday the 13th, a date he had long feared due to his superstition about numbers, he was 76. His death marked the end of an era, but also the beginning of his canonization as a central figure in 20th century music. Today, his works are still controversial. Some audiences recoil at the dissonance, others embrace the daring, but no one can deny his importance. His legacy is not just the 12-tone system, but the courage to break with tradition. To reinvent music at its core, he showed that art must move forward, that beauty can be redefined, that discipline and imagination can coexist. His works, from the lush Verklärte de Nacht to the stark Moses and Aaron, trace a journey from Romanticism through modernism into a new world. When we listen to Schoenberg, we hear the anxiety of the modern age, but also its possibilities. We hear a man wrestling with God, with history, with sound itself. His music is not easy, but it is necessary. It challenges us to expand our ears, our minds, our sense of what music can be. Arnold Schoenberg, the shoemaker's son from Vienna, who became the prophet of modernism, remains a giant because he dared to change the rules. He tore down the tonal walls and built something new, leaving a legacy that still shapes the music of today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Giants, produced by Selenius Media, music by The Artificial Laboratory.